Hebrews 11, starting there. I've been listening, every once in a while I listen to some of the tapes, and I don't sit there and listen to them all the time, but I listen to some of it, usually a little of the first or something. But I've noticed something lately, I'm having trouble talking. And I sound like sort of drunk on there or something. Well, I'm doing my best, but we've just been feeling a lot of anointing lately. A lot of times we miss the simplest revelations, the simplest ones, such as we've been talking about Mark 11:22. I'm in Hebrews 11 now, but we've been talking about Mark 11:22. Where it says, literally, have faith of God. And that's translated, have faith in God, some places, and that's a legitimate translation based on Greek grammar, although, as I mentioned, Worrell said, quite a Greek scholar, said, well, there's a lot of ways to, there's a way to say that much simpler than have faith of God, and A.T. Robertson says really the best way to say it's have the God kind of faith, but you can get that from any translation. Why do I say that? Because the kind of faith, the kind of faith that we're to have, it's not so much the kind of faith, there just is one real faith. It's using the faith. In other words, have the kind of faith God would have you have, or the kind of faith that Jesus used. Now, some people say, well, God doesn't have faith. Well, I don't know how you can get something like that, because Jesus was God. I know he's man too, but he's God man. He sure used faith. And if he gives faith to somebody, how could he give something he didn't have? The only way you can look at that is if it's some sort of abstract thing and not a real spiritual force, but it is a real thing. And it moves mountains, and it's created the universe. And it's faith in love is what moves the kingdom. Speaking the truth in love, the truth coming out is what Jeremiah was talking about, or God's talking about through Jeremiah, about the hammer. The word of God's like a hammer. It's like a fire. It's like a hammer that shatters the rocks in pieces. And what we need now is not now I lay me down to sleep type word or prayers to shake hammers. I can't even say a thing. I can't talk. To take a hammer and shatter a rock with it. You know, we've got to shatter rocks. We've got to shatter something that's encasing people. And it's like there's just a rock over their head, and you just gotta, you won't hurt them, just hit the rock. It'll come off, and then they'll be very not hurt. Why is faith so important? Because God, the only way you can deal with God is by faith into the spiritual realm where he lives. That's why it's so important. It is so important. Now it says here in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And there is the theme. The theme of Hebrews 11, and just a really big theme in the kingdom. Jesus was really concerned, very concerned, about Thomas. I mean, it's a happy time. Jesus rises from the dead. He comes back from death. And what's he do when he comes back from death? Well, he did some things, but what's he do the first time he sees Thomas? He shows Thomas something utterly important to Thomas. Thomas, you know, he does the things with, you know, he'd said, I've got to see. The print of the nails and his side, wound in his side. I've got to see. I got to put my hands. I've got to touch. But faith is about not seeing. The evidence of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Not seen. And so what Thomas's problem is, he's into seeing. But the way the kingdom works is not seen. The miracles that come, come because somebody can believe, somebody can pray. A lot of times something happens in a church, but it's because somebody in that church prayed. It's very important to have somebody in a church that believes. Because one person in that church that can believe can bring power into that church. It's almost as if God can't get into that church. Now, we know God can do anything, but he gave people free will. And what he really loves to do is to find somebody in a place that believes in not seeing. As we've talked in Mark 11, 24, it's, last week we talked about, you know, that's 11, 23 is about moving a mountain, but 11, 24 is about moving things too. When you pray, it's about moving things. You might pray to get something out of your way. A lot of times just taking authority in Jesus' name is the way to do that. You might pray for something into your life. It's moving it from somewhere on earth, if it's material, to where you are, right? Or into your account. Or it's about moving, if it's something that's only in heaven, it's about bringing something of in heaven, like a spiritual gift, into your spirit. But this all comes by having faith in the unseen, even the thing moved from one place in the earth to the other. Now, people can do things naturally, but I'm talking about prayer, where God does what you can't do. So when you pray, the power of heaven moves on the earth to move something to you or away from you if you say, go away in Jesus' name. Or sometimes something's moved away from you through prayer. And it's also about, so you reach the power of heaven, the unseen, with faith that's unseen, to believe in God's promise, which is unseen. And something happens down here where you can see and it's moved from one place to the other, or the whole thing is unseen because you pray for something and God gives you something in your spirit. Like there's such a thing called the gift of faith. Now we can all have faith and we can build up our faith and we can believe for great things, but sometimes God gives extraordinary faith to do things. And a lot of us have, some people have things that they can believe for in a certain area much better than any other. I think somewhere or another I've got something about real estate. I don't really know why. I don't much care about real estate. But we pray about real estate things, and it's like somebody calls you on the phone only and they're not involved in it at all. Well, let's just call Don, and you know, I don't know that that works so well, but if somebody's heart's really in it and they're desperate. Not desperate in despair, but they really want something. They really need to do it, or their heart's just really open. You can agree with that, and you can pray with that. And different people have different things. So that's a spiritual thing. It comes in, and it was all spiritual. You reached in with faith, holding on to a way you felt led, because it's all about the will of God. Believing for things is all about the will of God. You don't want to believe for something that's not the will of God, although it's possible to get it anyway. Israel did it. They got a king, and it wasn't even the will of God. But John says if you pray according to his will, he hears you, God hears you, and if he hears you, he'll grant your request. It's according to the will of God. But when you pray for this invisible thing with invisible faith that you can't see to God whom you usually can't see, when you do all that, then something here that you can see moves too. But sometimes it's all about praying for something, and something here is, you pray in faith to God, and something down here moves that you can see from one place to another. But even if it's a thing that you can't see all the way through till it gets to you, when you use it, then you can see in the spiritual realm. such as you're praying for somebody and they're praying to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden you see an outward sign. Maybe they speak in another language. Or maybe, like in Acts 4, they speak the word of God with boldness. There's tremendous power in it. Now, that may all seem very confusing, but just slow it down and slow the tape down or whatever. But it says here, faith is the evidence of things not seen. We've got it so backwards. We're wanting things that can be seen. But it's backwards. This is about things that can't be seen. I think we need to start the can't be seen church. Tonight we almost have it. That's all right. It's kind of like in here. There'll be lots of people listen to this. But it looks like they're not. This is a laboratory. I want to ask you something. The great people, and we're not locking ourselves to them, but it's a principle here. The great people who invented things, how many of you know many times they worked even alone or just with one or two people? But they did some great thing. Why didn't Jesus have 2,000 apostles? Seeing me, it'd work better with more. Why not? Apostles, 3,000, 4,000. No, he had 12. That was enough. Gideon had a whole lot of them. They got pared down to just a few. How many did it get pared down to with Gideon? 300?
20,000.
To 300, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. Folks, sometimes our facts and figures here are a little off. Please forgive us. We're just winging it here. It's the principle that counts. You know, without God, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's not that God's hard to get along with. It's that he's in that realm that faith touches. To break the rocks to pieces, we can't be all hung up on what we see either. Well, Jesus didn't see a whole lot right before the crucifixion. Everybody's leaving. There's a few people around, and then they start running, most of them. It looks very bleak, but what it looks like have anything to do with it? How can you say this? It's like Peter and the wind and the waves. Well, he's walking on water, and then he looks at the wind and the waves. Well, my guess is it wasn't calm when he started walking. He just started looking at the wind and the waves. He was already walking on pretty rough water, I would suspect, unless a little squall line came through or something. There's some sort of all of a sudden. But so what? If you're on the water by faith, you can walk on water with 10-foot waves or 1-inch waves. Or no waves. What in the world would it matter? Faith allowed him to walk on water. You say, faith did? He said, Lord, can I come? The Lord said, come. Which comes down to what I was saying before. This may seem a little like a shotgun, but maybe it doesn't to some people. That I'm just shooting things out here, or maybe a machine gun or something. A really big point is this. If we pray according to God's will, he hears us. If he hears us, he will grant what we prayed for. Now, the will of God is very important, but people say, I can't hear God. I don't know how to pray according to his will, so I can hardly pray, because they're never sure of what God's will is. Listen, God's a covenant God. He's all into covenant. You know, the little Abraham thing that we send around, and on it's on the website, and we've got some back there, and I've sent it around places, and it's been read quite a bit about something about Abraham can change your life, that will change your life. It shows how much of a covenant God is, and a covenant has to do with promises. The new covenant. I won't talk about the old here right now. The new covenant. Anything you read that's a promise, a general promise, especially in a covenant, that's God's will. You don't have to go to the end of the world to figure God's will. There are a lot of general promises that he gives to believers because you're a child of God. So you know that's the will of God. And then we can pray. God says you can hear his voice. So if something's kind of in a gray area, we don't really know if God's promised it or if he wants us to do this prosperous when we go to New York. And we don't know if we're supposed to go to New York, so we don't know whether to pray for him to prosper us in New York. Well, we can pray and get a witness. And he will tell us what his will is, so we don't ever have to be in the dark. And if you know his will, you know that he wants to do it. So when we get to Mark 11:24, and Mark 11:24 says, therefore, after he said, you know, if you'll say the mountain, this is 23, if you'll say, this is the God way of faith, this is the God way of using faith, the God kind of faith. If you say to a mountain and believe those words you say, and I will add to that, that it's God's will for that particular mountain to move, which you can find out. Jesus doesn't want you moving a mountain on to 3 million people somewhere. And he's really, you know, hitting at mountains in our lives anyway. But he's saying a mountain because he just had cursed a actual tree. And that actual tree died. So he's making it very plain to them. Now, if you say to a mountain, be moved from here to there, and you believe the words that you said, you'll have what you said. Then, verse 24, therefore, when you pray, believe that you receive those things from the unseen, or the power from the unseen moving those things to you on earth. Believe that you receive them, even though you don't see them yet, because it's not about seeing. The seeing comes after the believing and receiving. You believe what you pray, and you believe you receive it. Then you'll have it, and you will have it. This is according to the will of God. So it takes a whole lot of pressure off because you just believe. What are you believing? You're believing not that you can do it. You are not believing you can do it. What you're believing is that he can do it. He can do anything. So just believing he can do it, that's part of it. But you sure need to believe that. Most people that are believers can go that far. Then you have to believe, and this is all nothing, by the way, easy. You have to believe in his promise. Well, if he promised it, does he want to do it? You've got to believe that he wants to do it. Well, if he promised it, of course he wants to do it. So you just got to believe he has the power and that he promised it and believe that promise. So you're believing that he wants to do it. You're believing that he wants to do it. You're believing it, in other words, that it's his will and he wants to do it. And you're believing that he will do it. But if he promised it, there's no reason why he wouldn't want to do it and would do it. So you're not believing in your power at all. You're believing in him doing what he said he would do. I think a lot of people, when they pray, they grit their teeth like they've got to come up with the power. You got to be bold, but he comes up with the power. What a deal here. He's just trying to get you to believe in his power and his promise and that it's his will to do it and he will do it, which is all wrapped up in a covenant and in a promise. I didn't write Mark 11:22-24. Jesus said it. He's trying to get people to believe something. He's trying to get people to see how easy it is. He's amazed at their unbelief. That's what he's amazed at. So this whole scripture, as we have seen, 22 through 24, it's all wrapped up in God's desire to move something. So let's go back to the person who's in the church. If God can find somebody in a church, a person or two, that will believe him, what Smith Wigglesworth said, God will move heaven and earth to get to somebody who believes him. He'll jump over 1,000 people to get to somebody that believes him. That's what he said, I think. If he can find somebody in a church to stand there and believe him, why would he want to do that? Why wouldn't he come in from the outside? Why would, well, he might. He might do a lot of things. But he likes to deal with somebody that's in there. Why? Because they have authority there. They're part of that. So that's their feet are there. What did he tell Abraham? Every place the sole of your foot touches, that I've given to you. There's something about sending a man walking or a woman walking in faith. And they take what they walk on. He deals with people on earth because they're on earth. And there's an authority that a believer has. And if that believer's in a dead church, I don't care how dead it is, if God has them in there and they'll start believing him, they're like using the Trojan horse. They're already on the inside. They're in there. And they come out of that horse and boy, it's a problem. How does a computer virus work? Does it work because it lands in the front your front yard and you've got to go stick it in your computer? No, it goes right down in the middle of your computer. Well, that works in the positive. If he can find somebody in the middle of something, whoo! What did Jesus do? He comes right in the middle of Israel and is born there. And from that second, there was an authority that God could use. And what's he do? He probably helps his dad out till he's about 30, you know. And he's a rabbi. He's a teacher in the middle of that system. Ooh. So, oh, I got to get out of this denomination. They're as liberal as they can be, or they're as this as they can be, or they're that as they can be. Well, Jesus was in a humdinger. They didn't believe God when he came along, which was him. Why would he want to be in the middle of something like that? I don't know why I'm saying these things. Why would he want to be in the middle of something like that? Because he had authority in something like that. What did they call him? They call him rabbi. God loves to have people in the middle of things. When he sent his son, he sent him in the middle of things. He didn't send him to Mars to help with Earth. Oh, well, I'm going to send him to Mars so he can kind of look at everything. No, he sent him right in the middle of it. That's one of the reasons we have so much trouble, because we're right in the middle of a hornet's nest. We get sent right in the middle of the hornet's nest, and we're supposed to take care of those hornets. What does the kingdom of God do? You circle around the airport a while, and then you find the meat. Whew. That was a remark about my journey to Revelation here. What does the kingdom of God do? What's it like? It's like a little bit of leaven that leavens the whole thing, the whole lump. I was in a pizza place today. They had and William pointed this out. He'd been in there before. And he said, oh, did they still have this? He hadn't been there in a year, maybe, when we had that big cold thing and freezing rain. Wasn't that about a year ago or over? I think that's the last time he was there. He said, did they still have those refrigerators? They had the refrigerators. They had refrigerators with glass in the front of them. He said, did they still have that fresh dough in there?
Oh.
I guess they'd already let it rise some or whatever they did, or they're going to do it later. I forget how we used to do it. I used to do that. But they had these trays with dough, pizza dough, looked like they had it cut up in squares, and you could tell it had risen, and they had it in the refrigerator. I guess it, you know, they'd let it be in a warm place for a while. Maybe they're going to let it be in a warm place again. But you know what made those things swell up like that? One little bit of leaven. He sent Jesus down himself to be a leaven, to be leaven to the world. There's good leaven, there's bad leaven. There's the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. There's leaven of unbelief. And you can be in a place that looks like it's filled with unbelief. But if you've got faith, God can transform it because His power is stronger than the unbelief power. It's all about not seeing. So Jesus says to Thomas, Thomas, you see and then you believe. But the one that's blessed, and I'm just flowing in this translation here, the one that in this interpretation, the one who is blessed is the one who believes without seeing. That's the story of Hebrews 11. It's what's not seen. He was speaking the revelation from Mark 11, 22 through 24, particularly 24. Believe that you receive it and you'll have it. It's first unseen when you believe. People who say, I'll believe it when I see it, that may work for some things, but it doesn't work in spiritual things because you don't receive that way. Because you won't receive it until you won't see it until you do receive it without seeing it. May sound confusing, but we've got to get to where that's not confusing. We're upside down. And we need to be right side up, which is believe without seeing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You have it, and you'll see the substance eventually. The evidence of things not seen. You don't need much faith to see that I'm standing up here. Because I'm standing up here. But there are a lot of things we don't see, and sometimes they seem utterly hopeless. It seems utterly hopeless that we'll ever see them. But seeming and thinking and feeling, that is in this world stuff. That is this world stuff. That world stuff, the kingdom stuff, is you believe it no matter how you feel, and that's just great. You could feel horrible. You can feel horrible, and you'll still get it if you just keep walking. What Satan wants to do is paralyze you and keep you from moving and keep you from walking into your blessing. You got to keep going. And you've got to keep going in faith. You don't go out in presumption a lot of things, but you just keep moving. You keep moving toward the things and to the things where God's leading you to and where you in what you're believing for and believing in according to His will that He's in which He's leading you. And pretty soon, there it is. Now, this doesn't come by being paralyzed. Why did Jesus say, get up and walk? Because faith is movement. Mark 11, 22 through 24, it's all about moving things. Well, you're moving too. About this paralyzed thing, what's the Bible say? The Bible says that the principalities and powers, that Satan's been paralyzed. He's the one that's paralyzed, but it's just like him to tell you you're paralyzed and you can't move and you can't do anything. No, get up and get moving. Do something. You know, you may not know which way to go or anything, but just get stirring around and kind of doing something because a ship, if you'll just get it moving a little bit, the rudder will take over. But you've got to have faith to just start moving. Do what you do know. People who need something, they just need to go out and give a little something away, just something, or a big something, or whatever. Just get a little something. Get the thing moving. Get it moving, because God says, give and it'll be given. Something you need, give somebody a little of that something. Just you know, it's like they say over at Tulsa, I think a good bit of that building over there was built by people giving change. They just throw their change. They'd give their offerings, their tithes, and everything. But he says, oh, you got some change? Just throw the change in there. The other day, this guy, I think his book was sort of heretical. He said he caught me in the parking lot, and I don't know if it's for real or not, but he struck me that it was, and he had these books, and it kind of, the books seemed suspect, but he said, this is all I have. I have some of these books, and I'm trying to sell them out here because so-and-so's got some problem, and we're trying to raise money for, and I just assumed, okay, this is somewhat legitimate. I didn't want the book, though. But I didn't really have change to give him anything, so I said, well, just follow me in. I went into the Buy for Less and got some change and gave him some money because I wanted to give something. You keep things moving. You keep there's something about the kingdom. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But you will receive if you keep giving. And it's not just money and material things. It's time. It's this. It's that. And you can break through things by moving. The kingdom's about moving. The kingdom is not dead. Living things are moving. But we're moving because of unseen things. And first you operate in the unseen, then you see. Lord, we ask you to bless this word as it goes out. We know your Son came to this place as leaven to this world. Shumborata kastundo hurre de bastanda hurre de bushtu kuti de bastanda. And you send us in the same way, into situations, sometimes places we don't want to be, but you overcome and you get victory in that place. And you right things in that place. Even as the other day, I went to the Capitol to do something. Ostensibly, just to get a piece of paper so I can file something. But I realized when I was there about legislation, and I took authority right there standing in that Capitol building against a certain legislation. Because I was standing there, and I'm a citizen of this state, and I have authority in this state. Oh, if we put the kingdom of God above political things. If political things would be number two and the kingdom's one. Wouldn't matter if we were Republican, Democrat, Independent, crazy, anything. If the kingdom's first, so much would happen. But we're so into what we see. Jesus put the unseen first. The disciples that went on, the apostles and the followers, they learned how to put the kingdom first, and the power of God was emanating from the kingdom, and they caught hold of how it works because they realized the unseen's first. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, and they put the not seen first, and they changed the what could be seen. The people who had a sense that slavery had to stop, like William Wilberforce and like Charles Finney even, who was an abolitionist, Abraham Lincoln and others, they saw something. And what they saw was slavery, but what they wanted to see was none, and they worked toward the none, the unseen. And now it's banned, at least here. And in England, Great Britain, and in most places around the world. But the kingdom in our work, in our thing, the kingdom must come first for us to be effective. In Jesus' name.